Hello, everyone. This is Whitney with the Conferences for Women. Thanks so much for joining us for Your Network is Your Net Worth with Porter Gale. Before we start, I want to tell you a little bit about Porter and also encourage you to follow along on Twitter using the hashtag NetWorth, that's N-E-T, Worth. So about Porter, she's an internationally known public speaker and entrepreneur with more than 20 years of experience in marketing, advertising, and independent filmmaking. She's also a blogger for Ad Age and the Huffington Post and is the author of Your Network is Your Net Worth. Previously, she was a vice president of marketing for Virgin America. She was awarded the Changing the Game Award by the Advertising Women of New York and named a digital passionista by the Huffington Post. She lives with her daughter in San Francisco. So, Porter, with that, I would pass the stage off to you and let you share with our audience a little bit about why your network is so valuable.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your show. Well, as you mentioned, the book is called Your Network is Your Net Worth, and I think that a great place to start is for people to really think about, are they investing in their relationships? I think that, you know, often in our society, people think about the balance of their bank account or their finances, and I have found time and time again that when I look at the success that I've had or the relationships that I have that are strong or the experiences that I remember, that it really comes back to the relationships, it comes back to having a strong network. And so the book is all about the power of connecting and why it's so important to value relationships. One of the things that I set up at the beginning of the book is that I do have a belief that networking has really evolved over the years. Some of it is because of digital technology, but some of it is also, I think, that our approach to networking can be a much more advanced and much more specific approach. For example, in the past, I think a lot of people would think about networking in a kind of a negative sense. Maybe it was schmoozing, or they felt like they had to, you know, go to event after event and hand out business cards. And now what I encourage people to do is think about it as more of a transformation rather than a transaction. And so to actually look inside first, figure out what you're passionate about, what you're trying to achieve, what are the things that you are bringing value to the situation. So really think of networking as an inside job first. So the more comfortable you are with who you are and what you're doing, the easier networking is going to be. So the book goes through quite a few exercises in helping people identify, you know, are there any barriers that are holding them back? There's also a great test called the funnel test that I encourage people to do, where it helps you identify your passions and your purpose. And then it's also, networking is really about a mindset. Again, I think that sometimes in the past we are, you know, we've looked for instant success or instant gratification. And I really encourage people to look at the value of long-term relationships, you know, to recognize that things don't happen overnight and that you need to be in a mindset, which I call positive productivity, where you're constantly at least taking steps in the right direction and, you know, meeting the right types of people. And so, therefore, to be able to step in the right direction, again, you need to have a plan or you need to have a goal. So I do take a more logical approach to networking and not, you know, never eat alone and go out there and eat every meal with someone. I think that it's better to focus on what you're trying to accomplish with who and why. So, you know, what I did to write the book, I not only included kind of my story of my experience over the last 20 years, but I interviewed just amazing people and a wide variety of people. I interviewed, you know, a military mom, the CEO of a baseball team, lots of tech entrepreneurs. I interviewed a woman who is battling leukemia. And all these different stories, I really looked at how people were using and benefiting from developing strong relationships and strong networks. So the book is set up where there's 70% kind of inspiration and storytelling and then about 30% exercises. which I think is kind of a unique mix. After you've gone through the first section, there's three sections of the book. The second section is all about the importance of your core team. It's also about how technology has transformed the way we connect. And I'm sure a lot of you that are listening have heard of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Well, we are no longer 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. We're now 4 degrees of you. So, you know, the world is getting smaller, and that's because we can more rapidly connect with tools online, and we can crowdsource our friends for ideas and for recommendations. And so it's important to recognize that networking is happening at a faster pace. We also have larger circles of empathy. And what I mean by that is, in the past, without technology, maybe you had, you know, 10 or 15 relationships that you would keep very strong and nurture. And now there's research that shows that you can keep about 150 relationships strong and going at a time. So we have a much wider circle of empathy, meaning that all of our actions are amplified much more. So your brand identity online, your personal profiles, all of that is going to have an impact on your network and on your relationships, and so it's important to think about that in today's digital world. So, you know, in the book, I do talk a lot about the importance of kind of digital strategies and some social media tips. I would say that it's definitely more about a lifestyle approach, and it's not just a social media book. It's really being in the mindset where you're valuing connections. But after going through kind of the technology part of the book, I help people identify, you know, who are in their core circles, who are the people that they're turning to for support, and looking at if there are gaps, if there are places where they want to excel, but maybe they don't have the support. For example, if you are really interested in fitness, but you don't have a lot of friends or family that are, you know, engaging in fitness activities, you know, make a plan to join a health club or join some groups or find some activities. So it really, it's kind of a step-by-step process in the book. There's 13 steps that I bring people through to really have a concrete plan that inspires them. Another thing that I talk a lot about is, again, it's mindset, but what I say, because I used to work for an airline and I traveled extensively, is that I do think a lot of people are in the mindset of flying with their headphones on or not actually looking at the power of spontaneous connections. And so I really encourage people to be open to conversation, to recognize the power of spontaneous connecting, to constantly shake up their routine. I think that people are creatures of habit, at least I know I am, and it's easy to do the same thing day after day after day. And even little things like changing the coffee shop that you go to or going to a different event once a month, little changes like that can have a dramatic impact on your networking and your socializing. So again, those are some of the ideas that you'll find if you read Your Network is Your Net Worth. The third section of the book, which I love, is really about value creation and looking at how are you extending kind of your ideas and accelerating and amplifying your profile. And there's a core question that I encourage people to ask themselves, and it's very simple. It's, am I a producer or am I a consumer? And obviously in our society we need both producers and consumers, but it is important to think about what we're producing. And what I mean by that is, what value are we bringing to the table? What value am I bringing to my relationships? So producing could be anything from curating content and blogging to recognizing that, you know, people in your network need, you know, family care or, you know, babysitting, or you want to gather people for a potluck. But it's, what are you doing to bring value to your relationships? In a professional setting, it might be gathering people for a brainstorm or even making sure that you're telling people that you appreciate them and giving them feedback. So the producer mindset is one that is always adding to the collective rather than just constantly taking, taking, and taking. And I think that in this kind of new world of networking, the people that are really successful at networking have altered their mindset where they're not just thinking of it as a me, they're thinking of it as a we, where it's what can I do to help others? What can I do to give back? So the book has lots of stories that show the real power of helping others and giving back. And even thinking about when you go to an event, instead of just thinking about what am I going to get out of this, think to yourself, what can I give and what can I do to help someone that I meet? There's tips in the book as simple as remembering the phrase, how can I help? And if you close a conversation with something like that in an authentic way, you can make much stronger connections. So the book is filled with ideas on how to, strengthen your network, identify the right people to be connecting with. And in today's world, it's more and more important because jobs are being more likely to be filled from internal referrals. Companies are starting to look at the value and the power of your network when they're bringing in candidates. They're looking at your LinkedIn profiles. They're looking at your connections. There's definitely recruiters and people are constantly checking online profiles and making decisions about things that, if you're a good candidate, best based on what you've been posting and pinning. So it's so important now to think about both online and offline how you are connecting with people, what kind of brand personality you are conveying, what value you're bringing to the table, what relationships you are nurturing, and to have that be something that's at the forefront of your mind all the time. In summary and in closing, what I've tried to do with the book is to give people both an inspirational kind of guide and a roadmap to help them have, a better and more concrete networking plan. I hope that people find the book very inspirational but also action-oriented. At the end of each chapter, there's tip lists and questions that people can ask themselves. There are also exercises where I've done sample exercises with three different people that are at the back of the book. So you can see how some other people are using the exercises and the tools to move their productivity and their success forward. So it's been an honor to write this book. So many incredible people shared their stories, and I frankly had to live all of my ideas and live my philosophies to write the book. So I'm grateful, and I hope that people will reach out. And if you do read it and if you have questions for me, I'm always reachable on Twitter, @PorterGale, and I love to hear from readers, and I'd love to hear your thoughts and questions. So thank you for being on the call today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Porter. And again, I just want to remind everybody to follow along if you are a Twitter user at #NetWorth. So a few questions for you, Porter. A new online relationship, how do you suggest advancing that to a more valuable in-person connection?
Sure, that's a great question. First of all, there are certain things that you can do online to signal your interest or your desire to have a stronger relationship. Even little things like liking someone's post or retweeting an article, sending someone an email if they've written an article or they've posted something that you like and saying, that was great, I was really inspired by your article. All of those things can signal your intent to have a stronger relationship. I always talk about the importance of safety first, and so some of the things that I've done, I've had virtual coffees with people, I've Skyped and had, coffee talks with folks. A very specific example, there was a woman in New York who had wanted to meet for coffee, and I looked at her profile, and, you can learn a lot about people now with a Google search and looking at their profile, and I realized she, was interesting, we had a lot in common. But because time can be at a minimum and we need to be efficient, the next time I was in New York, I just simply invited her to a gathering of my girlfriends and said, come along and meet my friends. And so it was a very easy and efficient way for me to meet a new person and to include her in an event. And she was lovely, and that turned into, a great relationship. So that's one great way. Another thing that I think is really beneficial is meeting people at conferences. And so if you have met someone online, you know, are you going to, you know, South by Southwest, or are you going to the lawyers conference in Vegas? Like, figure out where the people are going to be. And if they're going, think about how can you bring value to them. One recent example, there's a gentleman that I was talking to the other day who wanted to meet a contact at a conference. He found out his email and sent him a message and said, I'm going to be at this conference. I happen to know these six people. I would love to introduce you to them. Is that of interest to you? And the contact said, yes, that would be great. So he was bringing value to the table, figuring out a way to make a connection work. So lots of really great ideas in the book on how to do that. And it's important. You don't want to be online all the time. Otherwise, you're really not making strong, authentic relationships.
Yeah, fantastic insight and advice. And I'm interested to hear a little bit about your advice for perhaps a recent graduate or any individual who doesn't have an extensive network. What would you suggest to them?
Sure. Well, the first step, again, is to figure out your objectives and what you're trying to accomplish and what you're interested in. For the job seeker, you know, I am a big fan of LinkedIn. I think that it is a very, very great tool, or it's a great networking tool. I think of it more as networking rather than as a social media platform. But use it and put together a you know, typo-free bio. It's amazing to me how many people will post things that are laden with typos or incomplete. So, you know, start building your online profile. The next thing that I would recommend is making a list of targets. Which companies do you want to work at, or which types of experiences are you trying to glean? And once you have that, then look for warm introductions to people within the company. Because, again, more and more opportunities are being filled by internal referrals. And so it's important to figure out how to network your way into various organizations. And don't let the no's upset you, because you are going to ask for meetings. You're going to ask for copies. You're probably going to get a lot of no's. But it's really up to the individual to stay positive, to stay productive, and keep trying to move forward towards their goals.
So, Porter, why is it important for everyone to cultivate their network, even if, for example, they don't have a career or they're thinking in the near future that they want to start their career or re-enter into one?
Sure. Well, you know, there is a lot of research by people that are much, you know, more well-versed in this topic than I am, but that having a strong network and lots of connections actually is one of our fastest routes to happiness. So having good, strong relationships provides, you know, a better opportunity for experiences, for memory building, for connection. There's research that shows that people that have stronger connections tend to be healthier, happier, get through crisis more easily. And so having a strong network is very, very important regardless of your professional goals. Another thing that I think is really important is, again, the world is getting smaller, as we discussed. And so if there's something that you need in the future, or if there's even learning that you want to have, or if there's opportunities when you're traveling, if you have a network that is stronger and more defined, you can, you know, learn from them. For example, I was en route to Budapest probably a year ago now, and I posted on my Facebook page, do any of you have contacts in Budapest? I know it's a needle in the haystack, but lo and behold, you know, someone I knew the ambassador, and within 24 hours, I had secured a lunch with the ambassador of Budapest. That would not have happened in the past. That happens because of strong networks and because of, you know, a dialogue where you're keeping in contact with people. So, again, thinking about the power of relationships instead of just finances or the best deal or, you know, getting to the right weight on the scale, like all of those things should be secondary to, are you putting value and effort into your relationships?
So, Porter, for a second, let's talk about barriers, because we all have come across them from time to time. What are some of the common barriers that you've identified that really prevent people from achieving their best, achieving their goals, And how can networking play an important part in overcoming those?
Yeah, great question. You know, as I mentioned, the first section of the book does go a little bit deeper into identifying any barriers. And so, you know, barriers can be, you know, shifts in mindset, or they can be larger issues. So it could be anything from having negative thinking. For example, I think that sometimes we're our own worst critics, or we actually stop ourselves from success. Maybe we don't go for the job because we don't think we have the qualifications. We, you know, don't talk to the person because we think that we're less than. You know, we panic at a social setting because we don't think that we have anything to say. You know, those are all barriers that are self-inflicted. So you have to look at how can you overcome these barriers, change your mindset, become stronger. You know, other barriers could be fear of public speaking. Time and time again, even the most successful people, when I've interviewed them, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, most people have had to work on identifying these different barriers, figuring out how to build their confidence. Sometimes it comes with age, sometimes it comes with self-reflection, but we're more similar than we recognize, and more people have, you know, problems and challenges with connecting than you would realize. You know, at every event where I speak, at least two or three people come up to me afterwards and say, you know, I wanted to wait till the crowd was gone, but I'm really shy, and I don't know how to start a conversation. You know, what can I do? And there are really simple strategies that I outline in the book on how to get through that and how to have topics to talk about, and that's a barrier for some people. So look at your barriers and figure out, do I need outside support to break these barriers, or can I start shifting my mindset and starting new behaviors? Very important in networking. Hello?
Porter,
yes.
One more question for you, which is, so often we think about networking, going outside of our organization or outside of our immediate circle. What about networking inside of an organization or a company? Why is that important, and what suggestions do you have around that?
Yes. You know, networking inside, I think, is just as important. I think that building a strong network or a strong team wherever you're working is important. Some of the reasons why innovation and success is coming more and more often from collaboration rather from single kind of idea thinking. So it's important to break down those silos and to connect with people. You know, there are a lot of basic things that I talk about in the book where it's even appreciating and respecting, you know, your coworkers, making sure that you're not trying to take credit for their work, not throwing hierarchical titles around. All those things are more and more important because today the way the job world works, it's no longer a ladder where we're climbing to success. You know, today's intern can be tomorrow's CEO, and we all have more careers under our belts where we change jobs more frequently. And so the power and the value of that network is so much more important. So always look at internally at the company you're working at. Am I collaborating? Am I building strong relationships? Am I bringing, you know, value to the table and creating strong ties that will help you in the future?
Great. Well, before we close the lines and our telecast comes to an end, I do want to remind everybody, if you're not already signed up for our newsletters, go ahead to the website, sign up, and you'll be kept informed about upcoming teleclasses as well as our new Office Hours radio show. We have a teleclass and a broadcast every month. Upcoming in July, we have our Office Hours focused on managing relationships with coworkers, and that will be on July 17th. On July 24th, we have a teleclass with Pamela Meyer, Lie Spotting, where you'll learn 10 tips on how to spot deception. So, Porter, thank you so much for joining us and sharing a little bit about your book and why networking is your net worth. Thank you so much.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me on your show, Whitney, and all my best to you and all of your listeners.